Any questions?
And both of us still look exactly as we look.
Other questions?
Yeah, you talked about higher education, but I'd like to hear your comments about the so-called No Child Left Behind and what the U.S. Senator could do for K through 12.
You know what? I want to tell you a little bit about a kid down in the Rio Grande Valley. He was an obvious genius. His teacher knew he was a genius. Everybody knew he was a genius. He had no clue, nor did his mother, who spoke very broken English, on how to. And Ross Ramsey may know more about this kid than I had. But you may have been gone by then. But anyway, this kid was a genius. He made the worst score on SAT that you could possibly make. He did not make. I mean, he probably could have got into A&M, you understand? But that's to get even with you. But he did not make good scores. So we made some signed somebody to her, to the mom, and made some applications. And I will never forget this story. And they interviewed, and I mean, they talked to the principals, and they put a bunch of folks in, and they didn't, this schools didn't go by the score, thank God. So one day she calls me, and she said, "Well, we got the first one in." And I said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "I never heard of it. It's called Yali." And I went, "Yali? Never heard of a school named Yali. How do you spell it?" And she goes, "Y-A-L-E." And I went, but I was one of those kids, too. I mean, I just barely made enough on the SAT, I hate to admit, to get into A&M. The teacher's got to be put back in this testing program some. The teacher has got to have the ability to override this test scores. And what I'm afraid of most at the state and the federal level is all of a sudden we've got this huge industry that has been built up testing kids. And that industry can't get enough. And I mean, they're wanting to come back every time, either in Congress and No Child Left Behind or state level, to keep testing those kids. And I think we're at a point where a little bit of common sense is overriding what's really happened. The truth of the matter is, the teacher sitting in the classroom knows more about whether that kid can function at University of Texas or someplace than any test score. And I think that's one of the things that we have to change. The mandates that are set out by No Child Left Behind, a wonderful, wonderful theory, are costing these school districts an absolute fortune that they could be used to pay in teachers. And I think we're going to have to revisit it.
I went to Longhorn High down the street, I was forced to drop out due to regular administration funding cuts.
Well, of course, the reason it's tough to get a student loan is the same reason it's tough to get a loan for a house.
Right.
Same reason it's tough to get a line of credit for a business is because you know, the financial system of this country darn near fell off a cliff. And banks don't trust each other, much less you. And so that until they start believing in themselves, and they shouldn't trust each other. I mean, just think about the goofy things that Wall Street. Somebody asked me the other day, said, what would you do to invest in this market? And I said, do exactly the opposite of every talking head on TV and what you hear out of Wall Street. They don't know a beans about what they're talking about. They're the ones that created this problem. You ever heard of something called credit default swaps? Let me tell you what credit default swaps are. Credit default swaps is where you and I can go out and buy insurance, death, life insurance on General Motors. In other words, we buy that life insurance. If General Motors dies, we make a ton of money off of that. It's like me going out buying insurance, life insurance on you. Now, what am I tempted to do when I buy life insurance on you? And that's exactly what happened. If you look at Lehman Brothers, you saw all these Wall Street guys buy credit default swaps on Lehman Brothers, and then they shorted the market and just crashed it. And they killed that company. That's who killed that company. And those are the folks that ought to be in jail. And the people that came up with all of that stuff ought to be in jail. And no less a figurehead than Warren Buffett and George Soros have said, y'all not even allow that stuff on the market. Well, common sense would tell any of us not to allow that kind of stuff on the market. That's why we don't allow me to buy life insurance on you, because there might be a temptation for me to shoot you between the eyes.
I understand that to a certain extent, as much as anybody.
Are you still asking your question?
Okay. How do we fix this to where funding is available for, say, an older working student? Because right now it's not.
What was the question?
Funding for older students, how do we solve that problem?
Well, I mean, that's available in student loan programs and stuff like that. The funding for all students has a common problem right now, and it's just the credit markets. It's LIBOR rates and everything else out of kilter, not nearly so out of kilter as they were last October and November, but they're still out of kilter. And until those markets start, until banks start lending money, till student loan programs start working again, it's simply not going to work. And one of the things that has to happen eventually is the money that's put in to grease those wheels is going to wind up having to be pulled out, but hopefully the credit markets are going again. I don't have a lot of faith in Wall Street right now in what's going to happen. I wouldn't venture a lot of risk with those guys right now, just because I don't think they've learned their lesson.
Just go ahead and pay for it out of the pocket.
Any other questions?
Hey, John, on the JMOA program, I'd like your take on the one of your opponents, this fellow Democrat. One of your opponents, the invitation of Mayor Bill White with the Department of Homeland Security to his community to work with local law enforcement, and literally going to people's houses demanding residency status, taking people to jail if they can't produce a green card. I'd like to hear your take on it.
You're talking about on the ICE stuff or the immigration stuff,
yeah,
and stuff
JLA
like that? Well, it kind of depends on which position you want. If you, the first position that the mayor of Houston had was a position that created a sanctuary city for Houston. Everybody knew that. There were two sanctuary cities for aliens in Texas. One was Houston, and the other one is right here in Austin, Texas, to where you don't use local folks to enforce immigration laws, okay? Now, he gets a little bit of criticism from a handful of Republicans, and all of a sudden, he's Clint Eastwood and the sheriff of Mariposa County. And he joins Carrollton and Farmers Branch, I think, are the two cities, the only two cities in the state, to completely switch that over to the ICE method, where by George, you take, you know, the local folks and put them in jail, whatever you got to do, send them to the deal. I don't think property taxpayers ought to be saddled with that. That ought to be something that the federal government pays for. The federal government is responsible for securing the borders of this country, not the property taxpayers of the city of Austin or the city of Houston or any place else, and that's not what their police ought to be doing about. They ought to be getting the crime rate down. And if Congress wants to enforce our borders, which they should, they ought to be the ones primarily responsible for paying that. But the last thing we ought to do is go 180 degrees from one pole to another on this issue. And I think that's one of the reasons that the people at the LULAC meeting had protests of his speech before LULAC and why that continues to happen in Houston.
We'll take one more question.
Healthcare.
Yes. Well, here's what I want you to think about the system of health care that you have right now. You got a system of health care where in every other business you are the customer. You pay the money, you're the customer, they're to take care of you. Except for one, and that's insurance. In the insurance business, you pay the insurance company, and then they spend a lot of money making sure they never have to pay you. As a result of that, all of a sudden, your doctor has to spend a lot of money to make sure that they pay him or her. And everybody is in this deal spending a ton of money on the process. The second thing is you don't know what it costs to get your appendix out 2 days ago or whatever. I'm just kidding, but I mean, you know, we don't even ask those questions. It was like, why would you ask a question like that? That's why I got insurance over here. And the reason is because it's not transparent. One of the things I think we need to do is have a basic policy. And as a congressman in Wisconsin, and not very many people paying attention to, hell, I can't even remember his name, but I've read his bill, and he has an interesting bill about basic insurance. And basically what he says is he sets up a regional center, like we would be maybe here in the 30 or so counties around here, maybe go down to Luling and all this. And that basic policy doing XYZ would cost this much. And everybody would know how much it costs. If you wanted bells and whistles on top of that, you could get bells and whistles on top of it, but a basic policy for everybody would cost this much. San Antonio would do the same thing. The Rio Grande Valley would do the same thing. But there needs to be some transparency in pricing. Because I think if people were to find out what they were paying for drugs as opposed to what the real cost or maybe what was going on in Canada and other places were, they'd be outraged. The problem is they don't know. Nobody ever asked that question. We need a system that asks the question, and we need a system where the people that we pay are actually working for us and trying to provide care for us and trying to pay for it as opposed to spending, in some cases, I've heard 24% of those dollars making sure that they never have to pay you and hiring the lawyers and what up that never have to pay. So I think those two things are a good start. Now, I hope that the Congressional Budget Office figures are not accurate that have come out, but this has to be, in my opinion, a system that pays for itself. I believe that we're the most expensive healthcare system on the planet and probably get less for it than anybody else does. And so in order to build a good one, you're going to have to do what we did with the food stamp program. You're going to have to cut the folks out that aren't contributing anything to this process. And those folks are going to squeal like stuck hogs, and they're going to raise hell, and you just got to do it and cut them off. But I'm convinced, and I think the preponderance of the medical establishment is convinced, that you can produce a quality, good, great healthcare system for the same amount of money that you've invested now. And that, I think, is going to have to happen, you know, especially considering the economic situation that we're in right now. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate your help. And, oh, one other thing. I have this letter here from the Chancellor of Texas A&M University. And they did a study on my bumper stickers. And if you put, this letter says this, and you know the Chancellor of Texas A&M ain't going to lie. If you put one of those bumper stickers on your car, you will get 15% better gas mileage. That is certified by Texas A&M University, Texas Transportation Institute. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate it.